Okay, we'll start the next pasuk. We're holding by
Thanksgiving.
Perek Gimel, pasuk Yud-Beis. So Haman got rishus. He has rishus to do katay be'enecha. I want to point out in the past two pasukim, there's two expressions that describe what Haman has a license to do. One is yikasev la'abdam. He has permission to be ma'abed, ibud. Aleph Beis Dal, Ibud, he has permission to do Ibud. And number two, he could write Katayv Be'enecha. Now these words are very, very gamish, they say in Hebrew. Flexible. We're going to see, we'll talk about it today. La'abdam and Katayv Be'enecha, to be ma'abedam, and what's good in your eyes are very gamish, flexible. You could say la'abdam is...
Oh yeah, this one.
That's in Pasuk. It's in Pasuk Tes. Pasuk Yud Beis.
What's the word abdom?
What's an aveda?
What?
Lost. Lost object. V'ikaru sefer ha'melech, and it should be read by the scribes of the king, v'chodesh rishon, the first month, v'shleisha asar yeimboi, the 13th day of the first month, v'ikasek k'chola she'tziva Haman, and it should be written according to all that Haman commands, according to his express instructions. Elachashtarpanei Hamelech. The Achashtarpanei, the article translates as satraps, which satraps, S-A-T-R-A-P-S, which didn't do me a lot of good. So I looked up satraps. Do you realize how much work I put into this year for you guys? I looked up satraps in Webster's dictionary, and it defines it as petty tyrants. So it's like a dictator, yes. So he sent it to the petty tyrants, the satraps. Elach Hashtarpanei HaMelech. We could just call them a Hashtarpanim.
I don't understand. They're not tyrants if they're under the king. Tyrant is the one in charge.
Everyone's a tyrant over what's under him.
Wait.
The gas station attendant could be a tyrant. You know, I once saw that somebody pulled his car into the gas station and the hose was able to reach. It's just that the gas station attendant wanted him on the other side and he refused. He refused until the guy backed up and went all around and went around the other side. And the guy said, there's no one else here, kids. And he's a satrap, you understand? He's
the McGill's calling them petty tyrants?
I don't know if the McGill agrees with Webster's Dictionary's definition.
Because that's art school.
Art school says satraps. Art school probably has a reason why they did that. They definitely have one, but Webster's Dictionary is not an authoritative source for. Art school is, yeah, they know what they're doing there. Vela Pakos. Pakos is a governor. Pakos is like a governor. So it's the rulers, the ruling class. Ashala Medina on each and every province. Vel Soriyam Va'am, and to the officers of each nation, each and every nation. Medina, Kiksava, each and every Medina like its script. V'ambam Kilshaina, in each and every nation like their language. We talked about this already. We spoke about this already. B'shem HaMelech Achashverosh, in the name of the King Achashverosh. Nichtav, it was written, v'nechtam, and it was sealed. B'tabas HaMelech.
Is the word Melech?
Yes. Well, the first time it says HaMelech Achashverosh, and the second time it says HaMelech. So you could draw your own conclusions from there.
Hashem.
Yes.
What is every HaMelech referring to Hashem?
It's Hashem, yes.
And how would you explain it?
So Hashem, this decree was sealed.
What about Parnei HaMelech?
No, when it says the word HaMelech next to something else, so it doesn't always mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it says HaMelech, HaMelech is Hashem. I mean, I did see in Mefarshim sometimes they say HaMelech next to something else is it, but that could be like an exception. HaMelech is Hashem.
Sifrei HaMelech is also
Hashem. Yeah, we're familiar with this concept already from Gzar Din and Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, the Gzar Din of everyone is written, and Yom Kippur it's sealed. And you know, it's just a muscle. I mean, Hashem doesn't have paper, and Hashem doesn't have a signet ring. Hashem doesn't need it. He has everything. He doesn't need these things. It's not a chasaron that he doesn't have it. He just doesn't need it. But the difference between writing and sealing is conceptual. When you write something, Until you seal it, you haven't really written it. To change it, to change what you wrote is nothing. You don't have to change anything. You can just, you know, scratch it out, erase it, write something else. Writing it is just the way things are now. And if the matzav changes, then you don't have to change anything to change the gzar din. So if you're writing a gzar din on someone, certain evidence that's brought in front of a court, that the court is writing a decision based on that evidence. So in the middle of the writing of the decision, even after they write it, if new evidence comes up, so just rip it up, or rewrite it, or reinterpret it, or something, who knows. And there's no change. All you're changing is what you're writing. The chashivas, the significance of a seal, is that it's it, it's over. There's nothing to talk about. New evidence or nothing. Too bad. Anything has to come in until it's... Once it's sealed, it's over. That's what sealing does. In theory, I'm just saying in theory, it's not a comfortable thought. If there's a psak din from a court, and then it was signed and sealed, even if the guy's proved to be innocent, in theory, he could just be executed, because they execute anyone that there's a verdict that was sealed.
In Jewish?
No, I'm saying in theory. We're talking in pure concepts here. The definition of a seal is that it's over. And that means even though you tell the guy, even though you didn't commit the murder, but whatever you did caused us to seal this, because obviously you did something that brought suspicion on yourself, and then whatever you did caused it to seal it. So we're putting you to death, not because you're a murderer, we're putting you to death because the sealing. That's what a sealing is. I mean, Baruch Hashem, it's not like that. A Kadosh Baruch Hu is Rachmanis and Erech Apayim, and that filters down to our court systems. Our court systems have a certain aura of respect of reasonability. Laws, the lawmakers endeavor to be reasonable. But in pure theory, once it's sealed, it's over. That's what sealing is. And you see it. Achashverosh feigned ignorance. He told us, I didn't know it was the Jewish people. If I would have known it was the Jewish people, I never would have let Haman do it. So take it back. It's a tais. You know what a tais is? Mechav tais. You gave him license to kill a lot of people that if you would have known who they were, you never would have done it. Now, Achashverosh did know, but he was at least pretending that he didn't know. So this conversation did take place. And he said, no, you can't. It was sealed. We have to write new books. We can't take it back. So you see that this was actual practice. There's a death sentence against the Jewish people, which, by Achashverosh's spoken word, they didn't deserve. It was a tais. It was a mistake. It's sealed. Which means that when it says Hamelech here, that means that Kadosh Baruch Hu sealed it. And that is frightening. So how do we change the din that was sealed? How do we do that? There's only one way. Tshuva is the answer, but we have to elaborate on that for a moment. There's only one way. Let's say a guy has this gzar din on him, and there's nothing he could do. He's finished. He's going to die. And it's sealed. If he runs away, if he does tshuva, they don't care. They don't care. How do you rip the seal up? I'll tell you the yisayid. The yisayid of tshuva. I mean, so I'll give you a mashal from our current times. Running away is not an option because they're going to catch him. And when they catch him, he'll deny he's the one that's not me, that's my twin brother. So what are they going to do? A guy claims and he's caught. A guy runs away. Breaks parole, runs away. And they catch him. So it's not me, that's my twin brother. What are they going to do?
DNA?
So nowadays they'll do DNA. I'm all a good site and they did fingerprinting. Nowadays they'll do DNA, they'll take samples, you know, head measurements, you know, there's all kinds of identifying characteristics of a person. They will prove, but they'll have a hearing, they'll prove without a shadow of a doubt it's him, and they will hang him. I saw a case. This is a case in fact where a guy went to he surgically had the layer of his fingertips altered. I don't know how he did it, who he found to do it. If he did it himself, he's Amish. And he chopped it up. Like he like took off a I can't even imagine what this is. Took off a layer, cut it up, and put it back in all mushed up, and yeah, and they still were able to prove it that he was him. The years later, they were able to do it because what they did is they took an image, they took a scan of his fingerprint, and then they blew it up and they used with the aid of some computer program, they were able to, you know, took each. It's like if you blow it up, it looks like squares or whatever, you know. Little squares, they highlighted each individual square. There must have been hundreds of them, and then they cut them and pasted them, and they rearranged it like a jigsaw puzzle. And it's amazing. I read this in some article. People have plastic surgery in order to avoid the law. The only way to get away is to become somebody different. And that's what Shuva does. Right, so the Gzaydin is not about me. The Gzaydin is about somebody else.
The whole Klausel became a new nation.
Yeah, they had they put the Pashas, they had like a Tchias HaMeisim, just like the first Kaval Satar. That means that their former life was not a part of them anymore, and anything that they're doing now is not related to anything they had before. It's not a Hemshah. Rishayim b'chayim kruyim mesim. The guy becomes a Rasha, becomes a tzaddik. That's chias mesim. And it's a lot harder to do than bring back a dead body. It's a lot harder to do for a Rasha to become a tzaddik than for an amira to make chias mesim with a dead body. Okay. That chias mesim is the real chias mesim. All right. It says here. In the Pasuk, that they wrote it all down. The Vilna Gaon in this pasuk says lahashmid laharug. Oh, this is pasuk Yud Beis. Sorry, pasuk Yud Beis. The Rekeach. I'm a little bit mixed up. The Rekeach, the Sefer Rekeach on this pasuk explains why Haman picked, of all days, the 13th day of Nisan to send out this farm. We see with Haman there was nothing random. Why did he pick the 13th day of Nisan? What's the significance of the 13th day of Nisan?
He didn't get into any days. He didn't tell us why he picked the
first. Well, we saw he drew the lottery when
for the month.
Well, he tried. Oh, the day. Oh, you mean the day of the month? We didn't. You are right. And I don't know if I, you know. Well, we're going to answer that question as well. Why did he pick the 13th day of Nisan to send out this farm? You see that this was... That's ridiculous.
Sorry.
You see that the days played a prominent role in Haman's plans. So there must have been something special about it. The Rekeach said, well, he wanted to do it now in Nisan, obviously. And he said that of the days of Nisan, the 13th day was the best window of opportunity for him, because he said to do it on the 14th day of Nisan, they built the Korban Pesach then. And then you have the whole Pesach, and then, you know, and the second half of the month, you know, there's a halakha that we don't... Yeah, it's Rav, so that was no good. And to do it the first 12... Yeah, so the second half of the month is already Rav, is Yom Tov, and Ruba Kekulai, so the second half was out of the question. The first 12 days of Nisan... Something called
the
Chanukah.
What's wrong with
the second? Well, once you have eight days of the month that are Yom Tov, so then that's like Rav of the second half. A half is 14 or 15 days, depending on the month. So
and if you want to do it in Yom Tov.
He didn't want it. Oh, for that, for sure not. It's good for the Jews. He didn't want to do it on Pesach. He didn't want to do it on Erev Pesach, and he didn't want to do it after Pesach. I mean, you've got Erev Pesach, then you have 8 days of Pesach and Issur Chag. That's already 10 days. You don't want to do it even after Pesach.
13 is Gematria Echa. Why would you want that?
That's cool.
That's good for us.
I don't know. But the first 12 days was also a Yom Tov. The first 12 days is also a Yom Tov. And in some places they have a minig. In the first 12 days of Nisan, they read Kriyas HaTorah. It's the Chanukas and the Siyam. The Nisim brought the Karbanas. They inaugurated the Mishkan the first 12 days of Nisan. There were 12 Nisim, and each one brought a carbon for 12 days. 12 Nisim, 12 days, and that culminated in the 12th day. So the 12, he didn't want to send the Svarim on the days, which was a Yom Tov for the Nisim. So he couldn't do it on the first 12 days. He couldn't do it on the 14th day until the end. So then there's only one day left. That's the 13th day.
Why is the 13th day better than after Pesach?
Because after Pesach, you say Rav of the month is Yom Tov, so then the Rav follows the month.
So the 13th day should also be Yom Tov following
Rav. It's not, you know, the first half of the month doesn't have a real Yom Tov.
Since the first half isn't a real Yom Tov, it doesn't make 13th, like...
Right, I'm saying, yeah, Pesach is a Yom Tov. Pesach is in the second half
so
of the month.
Pesach makes the whole second half of the Yom Tov. But the first 12 days only makes
so those days, yeah, it's not a Yom Tov. I mean, it's a special day. It's not a Yom Tov. It's not going to change the month. It's just going to change the day. Pesach changes the month.
So how come Pesach doesn't change the whole month? Why does it just change the second half?
Because it's in the second half.
So you could split the months in half?
Yes.
Only
yes, we do. We do it. We could and we do. We could and we do.
But where else do we do?
Oh, this isn't a good enough arrive for you? Okay. The Rekei Kol says in this pasuk, Achashverosh's name is spelled with only one vav. There's a vav missing.
Is it still Rekeach?
Yes. Between the resh and the shin, the final resh and the shin, there's a vav missing. And he says that. I mean, this is tied in with the yisoid that the name of a person is the person. The name of a person is not just what you call him. It's not just a convenience. The name of a person is a person.
The pasuk vav is spelled the same.
Without a vav.
Only two vavs.
With two vavs.
There's only two vavs in the whole. There's only supposed to be two.
Yeah, the Achashverosh is spelled with one vav.
Where?
In pasuk yidbeis, it's one vav instead of two.
I have two.
Okay. Well, I have one. And the Rekeach also had one. There are differences in Rishonim. Some of these different Torah.
Yeah, this one only has one, dude.
This one also has one.
Yeah, I have two. Impossible.
If there's a letter missing from his name, that means that there's something missing from his essence. We have ample precedent for this, you say, by the Nesiim. The Nesiim. They didn't bring things to the Beis HaMikdash. They didn't donate things to the building fund, the actual building of the Mishkan. They waited until the end, and they said, we'll let the people bring it, and whatever's missing, we'll provide. And there was nothing missing. They didn't bring anything. And the word Nesiim is spelled without yuds. There's something missing from their name. So you see that here as well. If there's a letter missing from someone's name, that's a sign that there's something missing from his essence. And the Rekeach says because Achashverosh's essence is to keep the Jews around. That's what he was created for. Whether he like it or not, he was created to keep the Jews around. That he should participate, that he should facilitate the destruction of the Jewish people means that there's something, part of his essence that he took out of himself. He ripped a piece out of himself. He's no longer himself because he's not what he's supposed to be. And that's reflected by the letter which is missing in his name. That's Rekeach.
His essence was also trying to destroy Israel.
I said the reason why he was created was to keep the Jewish people here. Haman was created to try and destroy the Jewish people. To try. Ahasuerus was created to keep them. That's why Hashem had him on this world.
So how come the other times when we're still also talking about the Jews?
I know there's one, you know, we also did it in the place where he gave the Rishus. You know, this is the pinnacle. I mean, this is the point. The Nechtam, it was sealed with the seal of Hashem, of the Melech. So the Medrash says, Hashem has two seals. V'nechtam b'tabas ha-melech. It was sealed with the signet ring, with the seal of Hashem. The Medrash says Hashem has two seals. One is clay, and one is blood. Hashem has a chatemet, a seal of clay, and he has a chatemet of blood. And the difference between them is the chatemet of clay can be broken. That's what Yosef Dov said. If you have an edict that's going out and it's sealed with clay and you want to reverse the edict, so break the seal. Clay's, you know, the chatemet of clay could be broken. The chatemet of blood can't be broken. Blood means there's going to be blood. Chatemet of blood means there's going to be blood. And even becoming a new person, it's like, you become a new person, one hop. Chatemet of blood is, it's over. It doesn't matter. Because the new person once was the old person. And Hashem has decided. Let's say Hashem makes a decree.
Shuvah always works.
Well, that's why we never have a chatemet of blood. But if there'd be a chatemet of blood, then Shuvah wouldn't work.
Did anyone in all of history ever have a chatemet of blood?
Well, there's a mishnah that says, Eilu she'en lehem chelek l'olam haba. That's a chatemet of blood.
But they could still do Shuvah.
No, Eilu she'en lehem chelek l'olam haba.
Still do
Shuvah? If they're dead. Some.
Oh,
those are people that didn't.
Those are people.
Oh, and people die. Then
someone that dies without tshuva can't do tshuva.
There's no seal anymore because they're already dead. They're already getting their punishment.
That's called. That's a chatamen of blood.
When it comes, we can always do tshuva. How can there exist something that can make?
Why?
Because put in the world that yes, we can always do tshuva.
Yes, Hashem. But a Russia could choose.
Taken away,
a also. Russia could choose to put himself at a level. The tshuva is just not going to happen.
That's not the biggest rush in the world. He put his head between his knees and he cried.
And he died.
And he did tshuva and he was called the rabbi.
The Chazal never said on him that Chazal never said on him that he can't do tshuva. In fact, the Zayna told him that if he does this with her, then he won't be able to do tshuva. She said it. She said, "Paya ba paaya." She exhaled and she said that you are going to be nothing if you do this. Which means if he would have done it, he would not have been able to do tshuva.
I have a question. How come in the Gemara...
The Chazal use expressions like that. Not being a mespik and b'yad alas is tshuva. You can't do tshuva. And even then you can do tshuva.
Right. That's what I mean. And whenever someone's alive...
But it's not b'derech hateva. Doing tshuva... I'm telling you that. Doing tshuva after Chazal say you can't do tshuva is just as likely as learning how to fly.
It's still possible.
Learning how to fly?
No, not learning to fly might not be possible, but it's
I'm saying it's no. That's say it's when possible. They yeah. There's no Gemara that says that.
I never met.
There's a Rambam that says it. There's no Gemara that says it. There are Gemaras that say that ain't must speak and be at a lesser tshuva. There is no ain. And the Rishonim say that it just means it's very difficult, or you know.
So that equals the seven of blood.
No, I think a chasamet of blood is even worse. I think that's a regular chasima. And a chasima of blood we never had. But it exists. Definitely exists.
You said that's when a person dies, that's a chasima.
Maybe. It's good enough for now. A person dies. But there is a chasima of that, and there's no tshuva afterwards. Nothing. Period. Zero. How could Hashem make a world and that you could have a matzav that you can't do tshuva? That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the ring on Haman's hands. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the next step. But the next step is there. Let's not be foolish enough to think that the next step is not there. That we're just going to be poof. Go back to Tayyiv Avayi. You know how many times the Gemara says that? One more thing and you're going back to Tayyiv Avayi. You think Hashem's just joking? If Hashem would turn us back to Tayyiv Avayi, could we do tshuva?
Yeah.
We're going to be Tayyiv Avayi. Tayyiv Avayi, you can't do tshuva.
That's when we're already punished. It's not doing tshuva. That's after the fact. We didn't do tshuva, so Hashem gives a time limit for everything.
Really? Why can't you imagine that I could always do tshuva, even after the time limit? I could always do tshuva. Even after that, I could do tshuva. At what point do you stop being able to do tshuva?
We have a concept that Hashem gives us a limited time in the world, okay. And after that, everything's up.
All right. So why can't we apply that now that the Jews they've reached that time limit? And then you understand. You do understand it.
But then it would already be at the fact. I mean, they'd already be punished. There wouldn't be. Once the time's over, you're done.
We're having a difficulty here in understanding what a chatamet of dam is, right?
Yeah.
Somebody raised this. How could it be a chatamet of dam? Then you can't do tshuva, and then the Shachar Hashem making rules without doing tshuva. I said because there comes a certain point when you lose the chance to do tshuva. Everyone has the chance of doing tshuva. Not everyone could keep the chance of doing tshuva. Hashem gives you $1 million when you go into Monopoly, you get $2,000. And then you end the game and you're in debt. What is this? The rules say I get $2,000. No, the rules say you're given $2,000, but if you choose to lose it because, I don't know, you just make bad investments. Like you land a boardwalk, you don't buy it. You land a park place, you don't buy it. The other guy buys it. He builds a house, he builds a hotel, you lose your money. The Tamid of Dam is a stage when there's no tshuva. Hashem does not want us to get to that stage. Not even that. Not only that, Hashem is committed that we won't get to that stage. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to put a death sentence on all of Klal Yisrael to ensure we won't get to that stage. Hashem is committed to let 6 million people get killed out in the most cruel fashion to make sure we don't get to that stage. I mean, this is at least a basic understanding of the disasters of the world. Is that it could have been worse. And we don't want to know what the alternative was. Kadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. More people were killed in the Beis HaMikdash than in the Holocaust. In barbaric, cruel fashions. Because I'll tell us the blood level that was flowing. Rivers, literally rivers of blood. When they used the blood of the Jews to fertilize fields. It reminds you of the Nazis. It's reminiscent of the Nazis. And Chazal say if the Hashem hadn't done that, then the world would have ceased to exist. So what's the alternative? So there's a chatamet of dam. The chatamet of dam means it's all over. And Hashem didn't do it. Hashem didn't do it. Remind me to get back to this. When we get to Perek Dalad. Just remind me, okay? Remind me to get back to this. I'm done. Okay, when we get there. Remind me.
So what it says, the king's ring means...
Well, it means Achashverosh's ring, and it means Hashem has finally decided that it's a final verdict.
Yeah, but it didn't say which ring yet.
The Medrash says that the signet ring was a signet ring meant to be used with clay and not with blood. So there's a famous Meister with the Chaim Volozhiner, the Talmud of Vilna Gaon. On Purim, a beggar came to his house, and as is the halacha, kol ha'poish yad nois, and all you have to give to anyone that asks without any hesitation. So Chaim Volozhiner gave him, but he gave him a small donation. He didn't know him, but he gave what he gave. And the beggar said, he said, if I tell you a good vart, will you give me more? He got enough from that. He says, yeah, of course. And he told him that Mordechai saw the imminent annihilation of the Jewish people. He saw something coming. And he met Eliyahu Navi. And he asked Eliyahu Navi if it's all over. Is there anything to do? If it's all over, it's all over. Mordechai saw the Gzardin against Klal Yisrael, extended over Klal Yisrael, and he wanted to know if there's anything to do about it. If it's all over, it's all over. You know, it's a difference whether you do tshuva and tzayim, tanesim, and daven, or you just sit and learn until the end comes. I mean, he's not going to
still be Olam Haba even then, king.
For Mordechai, you hope so, yeah, but not for a lot of people. For Mordechai, probably. Because Mordechai wasn't a part of it. Mordechai and Esther were one of the two that weren't a part of the Seba. But he didn't want that. He didn't want to be, nobody wants to be alone. They want all of Klal Yisrael. He wants to be with Klal Yisrael all together. So it's an afkamina lalacha. What does he do? Does he sit and learn in the base medrash without, you know, until the end comes? Or he tries to make his service for tshuva? Is it? So Eliyahu HaNavi told him, he said it's been sealed. Mordechai said, oh no, so there's nothing to do. And Eliyahu HaNavi told him, but the seal is a seal of clay. It's not the seal of blood. So Mordechai understood that we still have a chance to do tshuva. And Mordechai successfully was machzeh b'tshuva the entire Klal Yisrael. And the beggar told him, Chaim, he said, where do you see in the Megillah? Where do you see in the Megillah a remez to this? And he told him this pasuk. It's in Tupsukim, but we're in this pasuk. He told him this pasuk. Which pasuk? There's two pasukim. One pasuk is pasuk tes. Imal melach tov. Yikasev la'abdam. You can save le'abdam. Another pasuk is vayter in perek dal pasuk zayin. It also says aginzi amelak b'yehudim le'abdam. The beggar told the chayim v'lajna that the words le'abdam, if you separate them into two words, Lamed Aleph Beis Dalad Mem, it's Lo Bedam, not with blood. So it says Yikasev, it's written, it's Nechtam, it's sealed, Labdam, but not with blood, it's only clay. So Chaim had a lot of hanof in the vart, he gave the beggar his money, and Chaim, he went to visit his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon Emperor. You know the story? He went to visit the Vilna Gaon Emperor, and he told the Vilna Gaon the Vart. And the Vilna Gaon had, he's smart, he had a nah. And he told Chaim, he said, where did you hear this Vart from? Like, this is mamish, like, this Vart it's Dvar Emes, it's Minishramayim. He said, it's not just like a made-up thing. This is Amita Shotair, and he told him the story with the beggar, and the Vilna Gaon told him, the one who told you the Vart is the same one that told Mordechai that it was not sealed in blood. That's the end of the mice. Vilna Gaon told the Chaim V'lajna that the beggar was the beggar was Eliyahu HaNavi. Save Labdam. Let's go on to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vinishloyak's farm be at a rutzim, this farm should be sent with the runners. I'll call Medina Samelach to all the provinces of the king, Lahashmid. Lahashmid is destruction. Larog, kill, labed, make it lost. Labed is to get, you know. Lahashmid is destroy, Larog is kill, labed is to. I will tell you. It's Kala Yehudim, all the Jews, Me'enad Rezakin, youth till elder, Taf and Ashim, children and women, B'yem Echad, all in one day. B'shloisha Asa L'chaydish Ne'masar, the 13th day of the 12th month, L'chaydish Adar, it is the month of Adar, Shlalom Levi's, and their Shlalom Levi's is that their belongings should be plundered. Should be plundered. The Megillah Starim points out that this is the first time you see the Gzeira, Megillah Starim, it's the first time you see the Gzeira expressed in these terms. Lahashman Lahag La'abed. Take a look for a moment. Well, actually, Haman himself, when Haman was told that Mordechai didn't bow down, it says Lahashmid. It does say Lahashmid before, by Haman. But with Achashverosh, during Haman's encounters with Achashverosh, he says, Lamelech ein shav lahanicha. There's no value in the king leaving them. That's a euphemism. Leave them. You could save la'abdam. It should be written that they should get lost. Pasuk Chesed says, Ein shav lahanicham. To leave them. Don't leave them. You could save la'abdam. It should be written that they should get lost. Then in Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Melech says, La'asos bo katab be'enecha. You can do what's good in your eyes. Again. You know, like they're dancing around this thing. And finally it says, Lahashm la'ag la'abed. So Megillah Starm's shot is, I mean, he asks a question. In the second banquet, the second party, the second dinner that Esther made with Achashverosh and Haman, so she revealed to Achashverosh that someone is trying to kill other people. And Achashverosh says, Miuzevezu, who is this and what is this? He's expressing surprise. Now, it's true that the Arma Farshim, and I'm sure that's probably the impression that most of us get, is Achashverosh was faking. He knew who it was, but he couldn't admit that to Esther. Achashverosh is faking. The Megillah Starm says he was not faking. Megillah Starm says that he didn't know. He said Achashverosh was consistent. He did not have Haman's Mahalach. Go back to the origins of the Purim story, starting from the Mishnah, that was made. There was a Mishnah made. And they spent 180 days plotting out how to bring down the Jewish people. And they chose a path. They chose a Mahalach. They're going to kill them with goodness. Kosher food. Separate seating. There was separate seating in one area. In one area. Separate seating. Kosher food. No forced intoxication. A party without getting drunk? Amazing. He's going to bring them down with gutzkeit. He's going to show them how, you know, what they stand to gain if they embrace their ways. This is a danger. Klal Yisrael has survived decrees and exterminations. But the gutzkeit, the feinkeit, the yefes, the yefi, that's something which has destroyed 95% of Klal Yisrael. And it's going even further. It destroyed 95% of Klal Yisrael. And of the, you know, 50% of that is getting dragged down even further. They're not even aware that they're Jewish. They don't even have that. 50% of the 95%. Gutzkeit. La'abdom could mean to destroy. La'abdom also means to make them get lost, that they should lose their way. Achashverosh, I heard La'abdom. Haman, when he gained permission from Achashverosh, he gained permission La'abdom to get the Jews to lose their way. Of course, Haman's kavana was to kill them. To lose their way. And he says a beautiful word. He said, that's what Achashverosh said to Haman. Kisvu aleihem, right upon them, katayv be'enecha. What does katayv be'enecha means? With good. Kutzkeit. Feinkeit. Shenkeit. Kill them with kindness. Katayv be'enecha. It's such a beautiful shot. Katayv be'enecha. Convert them. Bring them to the Baptist fount. Missionize them. You go to missionize someone. You friendly, warmth, love, Christian brotherhood. It's all beautiful. And Haman interpreted his way, Lahashmid, Laharag, Abed. And this is going to be, now you can understand why Achashverosh was survived. And this will also explain the next pasuk. So that means that Haman had to preserve appearances. He didn't want Achashverosh finding out what it was about, not till it was too late. So we're going to see in the next pasuk, because of this, there had to be two texts. One with the word Labed in it, and the Katay Be'necha, and then there had to be a deep, dark, sneaky, underhanded one. But that's the next pasuk. The Rol Nagayin on this pasuk says Lahashmid means that you should destroy their ability to do mitzvahs. There was a multi-stage destruction program. Destroy the neshama. Haman wanted to destroy the neshama. Lahashmid. How do you destroy the neshama? By disabling their mitzvah performance. And we'll talk about this later at the end of the Megillah. What he did. Destroying their ability to do mitzvahs, you're destroying the neshama. Laharog means to kill them. To get them dead. To make them dead. And La'abed, the Vilagayin says, means to destroy their bodies. Their soul, the Vilagayin, their soul, besmirch their soul, take away the life away from them, and kill the body. All the chalakim of the person. Ushlalam levayis, why do you have to plunder their belongings? Because he doesn't want any museums to the Jew to be erected afterwards of all the Jewish belongings. He wants to destroy their remembrance. This is Amalek. So do you ever wonder why there's a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek that you shouldn't leave over any of their animals? That's because this is what they're trying to do to us. The Vilna Gaon says the mitzvahs that we do, Kriyas Megillah, drink, Simcha, Mishta, and Matanis Levianim, are parallels to these four things. Kriyas Megillah is a mitzvah, so that's connected that they tried to take away our mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Simcha. Simcha is that's life, Simcha is life. Then there's Mishta. That's drinking. That's the guf. That's mamash the guf. It's a physical, the guf. Connect to the guf. You get the guf happy. And Matanis Levianim is a parallel to Shlomo Vayit. They wanted to plunder our belongings, so we make sure people that don't normally have should have. There's a lot more to go into. Maybe on Sunday we could talk more about the parallels. I just wanted to sketch that in. You have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Wonderful Shabbos.